Grace and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's an old saying that where three are gathered, there will be four opinions. It seems to be natural and normal for there to be differences of opinion. Some of these are unimportant, like a disagreement on what color shirt to wear for dinner. Others seem to be of the utmost importance, like a disagreement over where to live. Following this most recent election, from the news, it kind of looks like the differences within our country might be so great as to be insurmountable. Unfortunately, it seems that it doesn't matter what the issue happens to be, differences of opinion divide people. And when these problems are allowed to fester, they create full-on divisions between people on opposite sides of whatever the issue happens to be. Divisions are never fun. Whether it is in a family, whether it's in a group of friends, in a business, in a country, or in a church. But they've kind of been around forever. As soon as you have two people, there are divisions. Divisions in the church on earth have been around almost as long. The first division in the church came between the Jewish and Gentile Christians in the book of Acts, over how the Gentiles should be included in the church. Some said that they should have to become Jewish first, to be circumcised and to follow the Mosaic law. Peter and Paul, and a lot of the Gentile Christians, for obvious reasons, disagreed. But in the end, James, the brother of Jesus, who was one of the top leaders in the Jerusalem church, finally stepped in and settled the debate. Gentiles do not need to become Jews. So in other words, you can eat those bacon cheeseburgers all you want. Divisions have arisen, and based on theological disagreements, ever since then, from about the earliest recorded, perhaps being around 200 or 300, over the person of Christ, all the way up to the present. When a teacher began teaching that Jesus was not true God, Arius, he led many astray and created a division in the church between the Orthodox and Arian. The Eastern and Western churches were divided over the supremacy of the Bishop of Rome, we know him as the Pope, in the 11th century. A division which has yet to be broached, or yet to be brought back. Martin Luther's Reformation actually, unintentionally I might add, led to a division in the church between the Church of Rome, which taught that grace is a commodity to be bought with money or earned with good works, and the church that believes that grace is God's free gift and cannot be earned or bought, but is solely ours because of faith in Jesus Christ. Divisions come from a lot of different reasons. Some divisions in the church are over important matters, such as the ones just mentioned, but a lot of others come from unimportant things. A congregation may be divided over worship style. Is it appropriate to use newer instruments in worship? A congregation may be divided because some members do not want to build a new sanctuary, and so those who want the new sanctuary build the new sanctuary and split from the old church. A congregational divide forms over the color of the carpeting in the sanctuary. Not that important. And so when we look at these divisions, the question arises, how? How do these divisions happen? Sometimes the issue itself, whether it's the carpet or the new building, isn't the real issue. Sometimes the real issue is cliques. In Corinth, these cliques formed around different teachers, whether it's Paul, whether it's Apollos, whether it is Cephas, which is another name for Peter. Now, the teachers themselves did not approve of these cliques, but the people formed them nonetheless. And so, then we have to ask the question, what causes divisions in our church? This isn't a popular question to ask, but it's one that needs to be asked nonetheless. What is it that divides us from each other? Is it family ties? But we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Is it personal preferences? But church is not supposed to be comfortable for us. It is supposed to welcome all. What is it that causes divisions? Really, the church is not about disparate individuals following different leaders. Church is about the individual becoming part of something greater than himself following one leader. Not a human leader, but the one leader of the one church. Why should there be no divisions in the church? Because the church has just one leader. In Philippians 1, Paul explains exactly who that leader is. Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Who is that leader? The gospel of Christ. Or again, in Ephesians 4, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. There is one leader in the church. Call no man your father on earth, but you have one Father who is in heaven. God the Father is the Jesus is the leader of the church. So when we have a single leader, a single head of the church, we are all unified with a single purpose. What is it Paul says? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, we are baptized in the name of Christ. Christ is the one leader of the church. So really, when there are divisions within the church, it hints at a lack of unity in the leader and in the purpose. The purpose of the church is not to make us happy. The purpose of the church is to call sinners to repentance. The purpose of the church is to proclaim the cross of Christ. The word of the cross, which is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, is the power of God. That is the purpose. Those who are not being saved do not understand this message. Your God died like a criminal? That's weird. A God who would become part of his creation is not something I can get behind. No, those who are not being saved do not understand. Do not understand the message of the cross. But for those who are being saved, the message of the cross is the power of God, and it is this power, this message, which brings the church together and gives it its unity under that cross. We are united by a singular message, which is Christ crucified. We are united under a singular purpose, which is proclaiming that message to everyone. And when we are united by a single leader, under a single message, with a single purpose, when there is perfect accord, there can be no division. The church is not called together around personal preferences or around certain charismatic leaders. Divisions arising from such things are not the goal or the purpose of the church. Now, there are some things where the gospel, the message of the cross, is in jeopardy, and in such cases, it is important to confess this message clearly, even if it causes division. That was the situation Martin Luther found himself in back in the 1500s when he proclaimed that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. And so when the gospel is threatened, that is all that matters. But if you find a division forming in the church, it is important to ask yourself, is the gospel in question here? Is there a way to avoid causing a division if the gospel is not threatened? I pray this is a question that we all ask ourselves in our interactions in church. And I pray that there will be no divisions among us, but as Paul said, that we will be united in the same mind and the same judgment as we follow the same Savior. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds as we strive for unity in the church on earth, even as we confess our unity in the church in heaven, unto life everlasting. Amen.